The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 13, verses 10 to 17. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This I will speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Our primary task as Christians is to follow and to know Jesus Christ. But I think what often hinders us in this task today is the fact that there are so many people out there who claim widely different things to be true or false about Jesus. There are so many things about Jesus that people doubt and debate that it can sometimes feel difficult to get on a grasp on who this Jesus guy really is. And so there are times, I believe, that we as Christians will ask questions like this: where can I find a solid place to start? Where's a good place I can just start, a place where there isn't things that are debated or nitpicked over, where I can just begin to learn about who he is and take things from there? And I think it's in times like these that the following observation of Arlen Hultgren can be really helpful to us. He writes this. He says, "Two things are generally known about Jesus of Nazareth that are beyond historical doubt, and they are known around the world by Christians and non-Christians. The one is that Jesus was crucified in the first century of the Common Era. The other is that he taught in parables. For Christian theology and experience, these two items of historical certainty are central. From the standpoint of faith, Jesus as the Christ is the revealer of God and the redeemer of humanity. His parables are the primary medium of revelation, and the cross is the primary means of redemption. Therefore, if we want to know redemption, it's Jesus' crucifixion that will teach it and bring it to us. And if we want to understand God, Jesus' parables will teach us." And for the next 12 weeks, we are going to take a look at the second of these two things, the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing required for a study of Jesus' parables is to ask the question, what is a parable, right? I mean, it's not exactly obvious all the time, but I think that most, if not all, scholars would accept the simple and straightforward definition put forward by R.T. France, which is this: a parable is a story or epigram which does not carry its meaning on the surface. Now, there's some debate about how much is going on under the surface in Jesus' parables. That is, there's debate over whether there's only one main point, or there's 3 points, or there's 13 points that can be learned. There's even debate over whether you can get any points, whether you can reduce it to propositional points at all. But every scholar, at least that I've been exposed to in all of Christian history, acknowledges that there is more going on in Jesus' parables than the literal or surface level content. For example, when Jesus tells the parable of the sower casting seeds on all the different soils, he is talking about something more, something deeper than farming, right? In fact, there are so many parables of Jesus that start with the words, "The kingdom of God is like," that most scholars would argue that this is the underlying theme or subject of all of Jesus' parables, that therefore Jesus' parables are short stories or similes that are meant to communicate a deeper, below-the-surface meaning about the kingdom of God. Now, I believe a couple further observations of what Jesus' parables in specific are helpful. First, in the parables that Jesus tells, the underlying meaning, what's not the surface stuff, is not immediately obvious. In fact, it's quite easy to read a whole range of possible meanings into Jesus' parables, meanings that Jesus most likely never intended to communicate. And furthermore, the surface level stuff in Jesus' parables is quite easy to follow, the stuff about the farmers and that. But the second level stuff, the stuff where the meaning exists, is a lot more difficult to grasp. For example, take the parable of the wineskins found in Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39, which says, Jesus told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they'll have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For they say, the old is better. So the surface stuff is pretty easy, right? It's easy to understand that stretched out old wineskins will burst if you put new wine in there that has to still expand, and it'll spill everywhere and you'll ruin everything. And it's pretty easy to understand that people like the taste of old wine better than new wine. That's still the truth today, right? But what does that mean when it comes to understanding the kingdom of God? That is not immediately clear, right? And this is a marked difference in the teaching of Jesus from other teachers. You see, most teachers use simile and metaphor to make things more clear. As Robert Capone said, a typical physics teacher, for example, might do the following when trying to explain the structure of an atom to new students. They might say that the electrons orbit the nucleus like a planet orbits the sun. And immediately, the students will have some deeper grasp of what the structure of an atom is like. But Jesus is more like the physics teacher who says that an atom is mostly emptiness. And therefore, as solid as you may seem, most of your body is made up of nothingness. You and I are big nothings. Right? Which, of course, only prompts more questions like, well, if I'm mostly emptiness, why do I feel so solid? And why did my physics professor just call me a big nothing, right? So first, the meaning of Jesus' parables is significantly less clear than a lot of other teaching that uses simile and metaphor that we're used to. And it's certainly less clear than his propositional teaching, like we find in the Sermon on the Mount, for example. There, we find a command, for example, to love your enemies, which may be extremely difficult to follow and do, but it's certainly a whole lot more clear than a story about wineskins, right? So when Jesus switched to speaking only in parables to people, his teaching became much less immediately clear. But second, even though it's not so clear on the lower levels and clear on the surface meaning, Jesus also did some other puzzling things. For example, even in the surface level stuff, Jesus chose to use some very unattractive characters who end up as the hero or the model to follow in the story. I mean, for example, he uses an unjust judge to symbolize God. And he uses a dishonest steward who cheats as an example for us to follow. Jesus' parables, even on the surface, where it's easy to understand, are often shocking and seem to undermine what we would normally perceive as right and good. In fact, several of them are just downright offensive to certain groups of people, and perhaps intentionally so. So Jesus' shift to teaching only in parables in the last half of his earthly ministry meant that he had decidedly made his teaching more difficult to understand and more offensive to the population at large. So therefore, it's not surprising that after telling his first big parable that's found in Matthew, actually it's the first big one in any of the Gospels, the parable of the sower, that we read the following in chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And I think they're kind of trying to say, like, Jesus, what are you doing? Can't you see this whole talking in parables thing is a really bad publicity move? I mean, you're making it hard for people to understand you. We don't even understand you. But you know what the really good news about this, the fact that they asked this question, is that Jesus answered it. And therefore, we have Jesus' own answer to why he chose to speak in parables. We have Jesus himself telling us the purpose of his parables, why he speaks in them. And here it is, chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. He replied, "It's because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Okay, so all of a sudden Jesus now launches into this talk about gifts and what people have been given and what they have and don't have. And some have been given a gift and some have not. And the ones who have been given will get even more. And the ones who haven't will be stripped of everything, which immediately brings out the whole, like, you know, what is with that? That sounds so unfair, Jesus. Now, I think the disciples and us, Jesus would know that we weren't going to get it with just that. So Jesus carries and unpacks it a little further in the next verses. And picking up in verse 13, he says, "This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled," or more literally, completely fulfilled, "the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Okay, what is Jesus saying here? Well, I think it's most helpful to start by actually looking at what he's not saying. I think there are at least two things that Jesus is making clear that he is not saying, which help narrow and focus what he is saying. And the first of them is this. Jesus is saying that his parables are not about providing intellectual understanding. As Craig Blomberg writes, "The kind of understanding that insiders retain and outsiders lack is not primarily cognitive. The disciples, after all, still need Jesus to explain this parable to them." Jesus tells his disciples, right, that they already have been given this gift. And it's already theirs. And yet it's clear that they themselves, at least intellectually, don't understand what's going on. They don't know. So it can't be about knowledge. Therefore, Jesus' parables are not primarily about gaining new intellectual information. That may happen along the way, but that's not their purpose. So first, the parables of Jesus are not academic teaching tools. If Jesus was simply trying to give us information about the kingdom of God, he would not have spoken in parables. So the purpose of the parables has to go beyond that, has to be more than just intellectual understanding, because that's not their goal. Second, Jesus' parables are not about equal treatment. Jesus' parables are not about equal treatment. What is unmistakably clear in Jesus' words here is that he sees all people as divided into two groups, disciples and outsiders. And those are Jesus' words, not ours. And what is equally clear is that Jesus sees his parables as performing two very different purposes for those two different groups, a different purpose for each one of them. For those who are disciples of Jesus, his parables will give them more and more of this gift, this knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, until they have an overflowing abundance of it, as we read in verses 11 and 12. And they will also be blessed with a blessing even greater than the prophets and saints of old were able to receive, as we read in verses 16 and 17. But for those who are outside, Jesus' parables will actually take away from them. They will leave them as people who are ever hearing but never understanding, and ever seeing but never perceiving. Despite all their listening to the words of Jesus, this group will not turn and will not be healed by God. Why? Well, we're given a reason at the beginning of verse 15, and it's this. It's because their hearts are fat. That's the literal translation of the beginning of verse 15. Both the Greek here and the Hebrew in Isaiah chapter 6, which Jesus is quoting, uses the word fat. The NIV here translated as calloused, which gets at the same kind of meaning of being insensitive or unresponsive. Other translations have hard or dull, which are also both helpful, but I still like the grossness of that image of the word fat. That the reason why we don't understand Jesus' parables is because our hearts are big, fat, unresponsive blobs. And the emphasis of the image is on this unresponsive quality, like it's this big, fat thing that you just poke and nothing happens. In other words, the person may very well completely understand something intellectually. In fact, there's certain parables where it seems to suggest that the Pharisees completely understood what Jesus was trying to say in his parable. They just wanted nothing to do with it. Therefore, outsiders are outsiders because they do not act or change in response to the message of the parable. In addition, the language of closing the eyes in verse 15 implies that the unresponsiveness of their hearts is the result of choices that they have made, and that they are therefore responsible before God for those choices. Therefore, the purpose of Jesus' parables for those who listen with hearts that are unwilling to respond is actually to gather evidence against them for Judgment Day. Failing to respond to Jesus' parables justifies God's decision not to heal and not to save in the end. Therefore, Jesus' parables serve to bless those who respond and to judge those who do not. And this double purpose of the parable seems to be the main thing that Jesus wants to drive home. That those who have received the gift that God is giving are blessed and will become even more blessed the more they listen and respond to the parables. But those who do not receive the gift, who do not respond, will fail to understand Jesus' parables and will be judged. Blessings to disciples, judgment to outsiders. Those are the two central purposes of Jesus' parables. But there is a third implied purpose here. For clearly, at one time, all of Jesus' disciples were first outsiders. No one starts life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, as Robert Capon has commented, Jesus seems to be speaking descriptively here, not prescriptively. In other words, Jesus is not offering a promise or prescription for what he will do in the future. He is simply offering a description of the current situation. Both when Jesus originally spoke these words and today, it's just a simple fact that there are disciples and there are outsiders. But we know from the words of Jesus elsewhere, and very significantly through the message of many of his parables, that Jesus' purpose in coming was to bring the outsiders in. This is the implied third purpose of Jesus' parables. First, then, Jesus' parables give further blessings to those who are already disciples. Second, Jesus' parables expose the guilt of those who close their eyes to him and maintain their fat, unresponsive hearts. But third, Jesus' parables also serve to spark a response in some of those who are outside, and by so doing, bring them inside as new disciples of Christ. It's important to note, I believe, that all three of these purposes find their unity in the desire for a response. As we will learn in more detail next week when we explore the parable of the sower, God is generous in spreading his gift freely to all people everywhere. The real question is, will we receive the gift? Will we respond to the demand of Jesus' parable that it makes of us? And it's only after we've given the proper response that Jesus says we can be spoken of as people who understand. Therefore, understanding in the context of a parable only occurs after we respond rightly. Or to put this another way, the kingdom of God, what Jesus is talking about in his parables, can only be understood subjectively and never objectively. The kingdom of God is not something that you can stare at from the outside and say, "Oh, that's what it is." The kingdom of God can only be understood by entering into it And the purpose of Jesus' parables is to provoke the response in us that will cause us to enter in and even further in to the kingdom of God. The purpose of Jesus' parables is to bring us in, to give us inside subjective knowledge of the kingdom. In other words, to give us the experience of being citizens of heaven and of having God as our king. Therefore, Jesus spoke in the parables not to give us information as a means of publicity. He spoke in parables to provoke a response in us. A response that doesn't just show us what the kingdom of God is like from the outside, but actually draws us into it to experience it from the inside. And therefore, those of us who remain fat in heart, unresponsive to the message of Jesus' parables, are staying outside and stacking up evidence for our final judgment. But all those who hear Jesus' words and respond appropriately, whether it's for the first time or for the 5 millionth time, are disciples of Jesus, and they have entered into the kingdom and are given the opportunity to enter further in. So as we listen to some of these parables of Jesus over the next 11 Sundays, may God give us lean and healthy hearts that are quick to act. May we listen and respond to the parables of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.